Turn over to 1 Peter 4. Now last night, just before I start that, last night I mentioned a scripture from Philippians 1:28 in the Woos translation. That's the Kenneth Woos translation. It's a literal Greek translation. It's excellent. And I just want to read that for you so you know what it was exactly. And do not be terrified in even one thing by those who are entrenched in their opposition against you, which failure on your part to be frightened is an indication of such a nature as to present clear evidence to them of their utter destruction. Also clear evidence of your salvation, and this evidence from God. It's talking about the demonic forces coming against you. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment, or good discernment, and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now that scripture really just summed up a lot of things we've been talking about how, you know, we are to be perfect representatives of the Father in this hour and to do all things in Christ. Again, we talked about the fact that all kingdom, true kingdom service is predicated on one being solely in Christ, in word and deed. So it's extremely important to keep these things in mind. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, and we defined suffering yesterday, and that you have to get hold of this, that our suffering is a suffering for righteousness' sake. Our suffering is to resist all continually that we've been redeemed from. Not to suffer under that which is under the curse, or under the law of sin and death. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that you also, at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Yesterday I talked just a very tiny bit about the need for us to be acclimatized to the presence of God. And as we are, and we come to know the deepest thoughts and intentions of His heart continually, then as the different manifestations, some of which I'm going to talk about shortly, as those manifestations begin to come forth, we are going to be able to be in a position of exulting and joyous appreciation of what's going on, rather than being under a very heavy presence of God and being under that place of conviction and so on. And therefore we can appreciate the blessings. And not only that, partake of them, and of course, being blessed to be a blessing, we can go forth blessed, breaking and distributing those blessings that God gives us to accomplish His most holy purpose. Verse 14, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. That's good news. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So any time that we're persecuted for the word's sake, or whatever happens, whatever is going on in the devil's schemes, we can know that we are faithful to walk in love and obedience at all costs to ourselves, that the Spirit of glory will rest upon us. It's extremely important. See, this is really simply how the glory of God is going to be poured out in the earth in this last hour, through a holy people. Very simple concept. The only problem that's been missing is God has been missing a holy people. No longer is that the case.
Praise God.
Verse 15, by no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. In other words, you know, don't do something apart from the Holy Spirit and then wonder why you're suffering under all these different consequences. You know, we're talking about walking in faith and love and obedience. And then, you know, there will be resistance to that, because initially because if there's no resistance, then we would just, you know, we would have walked and done what God wanted accomplished. So initially there's a resistance, but God is raising up a people in this hour. We learn to resist the devil continually. And we're walking forth in obedience. And I can tell you that as the outpouring of the Spirit continues to a greater degree with each passing day, again, we will be a force, a people, an army that goes forth to devastate the strongholds of the evil one and to set the captives free. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, when you see a therefore, look to see what it's there for. Let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Isn't that what we've been talking about? Coming to that place of absolute trust in the Father and His Word in all things, through that precious relationship, through that time spent daily on His terms in the inner chamber, in His presence. In that place of the inner chamber, there is a spiritual transaction that takes place every time. Every time. And the thing is, the people don't realize what they've missed when they don't go into the inner chamber. But the fact is, we need our daily bread, so to speak. We need to be fed with the food that's needful for us, both spiritually and physically. Very, very important in this hour, because we talked again a bit last night about the fact that if we are not a people that can hear God, then how will we know how to obey Him? If we can't hear what He says or understand what He's saying, how will we have that deep assurance in us that we're in the center of His will? The answer is we can't. This is what's caused the problems in the church up until this time, is that people, for whatever reason, but they've been in a place too far away from the place they should be in as far as their relationship with God goes. And in that place, it is very easy for counterfeit thoughts, counterfeit revelation to come in and seem like it's God. Because again, as Proverbs says, there is a way which seems right, but the end of it that way is death and all that death entails. Turn over to, you don't have to go too far, 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's revelation knowledge. That's exact knowledge. That's true knowledge. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. An awesome statement. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. Through the true knowledge, through that revelation knowledge, of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, from that place, we are going to be bearing maximum fruit for the kingdom. I'm just not exactly sure which way to do this. So I'm going to read Habakkuk 2:2 and 3 in the Amplified. He's turning there. Now, I'll do it this way. About 3 weeks ago, I was preparing a message, and supernaturally God brought me to Ezekiel 12. And I was studying in Revelation, and I was studying in Psalms, and I was just moving back, just checking to make sure I had the right reference. And somehow I just was meditating, and I just ready to look down to see what it said in the Psalm I was looking at, and I was in Ezekiel 12. I don't know how I got there. I mean, I just remember reading Revelation, and I got there. So I'm going to share that a little later on. But what I want to talk to you about now is vision. What is the vision of the glorious church? We know, if you want to put it in its simplest, most absolute terms, that it's Christ all in all. That's a good place to start. Everything else just kind of unfolds from there. So in Habakkuk 2, verse 2 and 3 in the Amplified, it says, "Write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes by may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end or fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day." And one of the reasons I'm standing here right now is to proclaim to you that it is the appointed day. And as we look at Ezekiel 12, let's go there now. This word was so quickened to me that it was almost shocking. This particular morning, I've read this scripture before, highlighted in my Bible, but that particular morning that the Father spoke to me, He said, "Now is the time." And so we'll read this scripture, starting in verse 21, because there's a very serious side to this. We need to be a people who are ready. We need to be a people who are diligent, a people who are obedient. And again, a people who are abiding in love at all costs to ourselves. Verse 21, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, what is this proverb you people have concerning the land of Israel?'" Now you take Israel as a type of the church here. "Saying," this is what they were saying in their heart, "'the days are long and every vision fails. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, I will make this proverb cease so that they will no longer use it as a proverb in Israel. But tell them, the days draw near as well as the fulfillment of every vision." Every revelation. "For there will no longer be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel." We've seen that, haven't we? Jesus saw it when he mentioned in Matthew 7. When they said, "Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name?" No, you didn't.
That's right.
"For I, the Lord, shall speak." For I, the Lord, shall speak. "And whatever word I speak will be performed. It will no longer be delayed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I shall speak the word and perform it." See, what had happened was, and the reason why the Father was so extremely upset at the state of this proverb of the heart. It was a state of heart, a hardness of heart, actually, that had overtaken the people of Israel in that time. And what had happened was, and the same thing has happened today, I might add, in the people, in many people, is that people have allowed their hearts to be hardened because they have not been in proper fellowship with God. And so, you know, when I first got this, I thought, I don't really understand this to the degree that you meant. And then I had a couple of examples come in that I had to deal with. And God showed me from it why it was that he was so upset with this. Why this state of heart is so upsetting to him. See, people had lost the vision. And if you don't have a living revelation, and I'm talking to each individual member of the body, regardless of what you're called to, if we don't have a revelation, of course, of the Father's plan and the gift that is within it, the calling in our lives, we all have revelation. We all have visions. Many have had prophecies spoken over them. I mean, true prophecies spoken over them. Those are things that we're to hold to. And we're not to let go of those. And one of the key words up until this time that's been going forth is hold fast the vision. You know, that's why I so much appreciate the people who come to a conference like this. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the devil tried everything to stop you from coming. When I go all over the place and I meet people for the first time and I hear their testimony, I appreciate them so much. Why? Because I know that the devil tried to stop them from getting to the place that they're in now, the place that God would have them.
Amen.
It's not a small thing in the sight of the Father that you persevered to be where you are right now.
Amen.
That you, because of your heart, ended up in the church at Escondido, where you're supposed to be, or wherever else you are, those people outside, where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
And of course, we have to be a people that keep moving.
Amen.
Keep moving and abiding in that proper positioning.
Yes.
Being in the proper positioning doesn't mean we're going to be in the same place all the time, necessarily. But it means that as we are continuing to seek God, we know we will be in the proper position.
Yes.
And that goes for our daily practical life too,
glory,
of course. And that is very, very important, as we've talked about before, as far as the full impartation of the Holy Spirit in this last hour for the purpose of winning the world, literally turning the world upside down. So I really do appreciate that, because I know that. People don't just kind of saunter in to the place of God's perfect will. They don't. You know, now sometimes when we get to the place where we've walked through, we feel like we've been through a rifle range, dodging bullets type of thing. But, and a little looking a little haggard maybe, or feeling a little haggard maybe would be a better way to say it. That glory is resting on us. But feeling a little haggard, but I'll tell you, God appreciates that. He appreciates the obedience of His children. Because every time, as I said yesterday, as you take that step in obedience and come into that proper positioning, you're loving Him. You're loving Him. I mean, we can't just stand here and say, we love you, Father, we love you, Father. No, we need to show it. I mean, He shows His love in every aspect of our being, and we have the opportunity to return it just by simply walking out our life in obedience to Him.
Amen.
And at the same time get to devastate Satan and his works. It's a double win situation. It is a good situation.
Yes.
So, it's extreme. I just want to encourage you right now that whatever vision God has given you, whatever revelation He's given you, both personally, both corporately, hold fast to it. Because these are the days of the unfolding of every vision. This warning here is to those people who have hardened their hearts towards God. It's a glorious revelation to those of us who are seeking the fullness of His will. And I'm going to share a bit more on that right now. All right. Verse 26. I thought I'd finished. Verse 26. Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for many years from now. And he prophesies of times far off. I've seen that. I've seen that in a heart that's not in that right place with God, administering words that speak of a time far off. And they lose that sense of God's purpose. They lose that power of revelation that comes from the Spirit of God, and therefore they lose the wisdom that comes with that. And it looks like it's going to be a long way off. But you see, what that leads to, when that type of thing is ministered, it leads to leading people further away from God. It leads to an attitude, unconsciously, but nonetheless real, it leads to an attitude where people say, oh, okay, that's way over there. Well, okay, I guess I'm going to have to do this. And that's the devil's ploy right there. Gets the people out of the proper positioning into a place where he can strike them and control them and at the very least keep them away from that presence of God wherein they are going to become the vessels of his power and his glory. And that's the devil's scheme. The vision that he sees is for many years from now, and he prophesies of times far off. Therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever word I speak will be performed. He backed it up in Jeremiah 1:12, and he said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. We have the promise. We have a God who's ready, willing, and able to fulfill every vision that he's given us. He's the one that's given us the vision, the revelation of the glorious church. And we need to be a people who are believing. We need to be a people, and again, that have a holy expectation. And again, that's one of those spontaneous byproducts of coming into His presence. Because when you are in His presence, when you're fellowshipping with Him, you will pick up the excitement that He has. It thrills Him to work. We know our God's a patient God because He's had to wait for so long to do the things that He so would love to do. But now He's thrilled because He has a people in this earth that He can work His plan through to perfection. And this is the time now. There are many things that God has wanted to do. But now, in this time, there's going to be certain things that begin to manifest because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because of the outpouring of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm going to talk about some of those things right now. And some or all of these things are going to, at least one of them, is touching your life right now in some way, shape, or form. And you'll be able to see that God is about to do some things through His people, through a holy church. Number one, I really don't have numbers on these in that sense because it's just a number of things, so there's no significance in the numbers, but it keeps them in order. The Father is going to reveal the depths of His fatherhood in this time to a degree, a continually greater degree, and that is going to produce some things. It's going to produce, and again, remember the divine requirement. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, the whole thing, the whole deal. It's your whole lifestyle. Your whole motivation is to love Him with all your heart and be found loving Him with all your heart. And when you do, it's going to set some things in motion, both individually in our lives, of course, but also corporately. It's going to set the things that we've all been believing for, all been waiting to come to pass. And not only just having them come to pass, but be able to handle them perfectly when they do come to pass. There's no use. See, we're not the generation that's going to go out and plateau and then just go around the mountain again with a little bit of a different dressing on it. We're the ones that are going to take this through to the completion of what all that the Father desires to do through Christ and in Christ. So the first thing that's going to produce, that close fellowship and the revelation that comes forth through the people who are in close fellowship with Him, it's going to cause the removal of the inferiority complex that many of God's children have held to through a sin consciousness and an unrighteousness consciousness. See, people walking around, every thought not being brought captive to the glorious revelation of who they are in Christ, but being brought captive to the lying thoughts of the evil one. It can be very subtle. Stacy mentioned about this whole thing about child abuse and the different experiences that people have had. He's absolutely right. The fact is that when we truly, truly come into fellowship with the Father, even though, praise God for our earthly parents, we will realize that He is our one true Father. And I cannot even begin to explain. I could begin. That'd be about it. Just what the results of that are. For one thing in this inferiority complex, it really causes a deep-rooted seeking of the approval of men, if it remains.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, you know, you're either going to fear God or fear man, but you can't do both.
Amen.
Not successfully.
Amen.
You can't serve God successfully in that. So that's a big thing. And I'll say this to you right now. When you come into that right relationship with the Father and you really know Him and understand Him and you grasp, or as we begin to grasp, His perfect love for us, we will not be under the fear of man. Now, sure, that's going to take a diligent guarding our heart with all diligence with each passing day, not to let that revelation slip. See, all of this is revelation knowledge that's coming to us and revealing to us our precious inheritance in Christ. And if we will spend that time daily in proper fellowship with God, then it will not only expand, but it will bring us through everything that we face. How can I emphasize that? I mean, we have to understand that. We can't walk around living for ourselves as Christians and wonder why things are going wrong. That's foolishness. The second thing it's going to do as the revelation, see, again, I'm talking to a people who are in proper relationship with God and who are understanding these things. And so I'm talking to a people who God is going to use to go out and impart His person and His character his true character in person to all those who cross our path. So this is very, very important to him. So as we go forth and impart the love of the Father, it's going to begin to expose and remove all that ground of unforgiveness that is in the lives of people. The very thing, it's hindering them completely from coming into the fullness of what they're called to in Christ. I'll tell you, if there's a more blatant denial of the blood of Jesus, I don't know what it is. After what he did for us, and of course it's seen in the story about the man who had the servant who had the great debt, and his master forgave him the whole debt, and of course the Bible went to great pains to explain that debt was, he couldn't have paid that. And then of course when the situation arose in his own life, he turned and did not forgive that person that owed him a very small amount. And what happened to that servant? Judged very harshly. Why? Because for us, as it stands, all unforgiveness is a blatant denial of all that Jesus Christ ever did. It's not just a matter of of course, the trap is that people feel that they're justified in unforgiveness. No, they're not. I don't care what people do. I don't care what we have to do to remain in an abiding state of unforgiveness. We do it. We do it. Another thing that's going to be produced as the glorious church begins to take legs, there will be a necessary healing wave come forth for those in any of the past prophetic movements, anywhere else in the church. I'm not going to go into all that right now. We all know the horror stories. Just different things. People serving people, serving people,
Amen.
Serving people.
Amen.
No God in there anywhere when it gets right down to it.
Right.
So there needs to be a healing wave. There's been a lot of hurts. There's been a lot of things done wrong. A lot of things said wrong to people. A lot of false prophecy put forth, personal or corporate. It doesn't make any difference. But God's going to heal those things. See, because if it's false, if it's not true, if it's not real, it's imparting death. And if it's imparting death, it just sets forth a chain reaction of all these things, like division and all the things that, well, we know the horror stories. No need to go into that. What I'm saying to you is that God, through His glorious church, is going to revive, restore those who want to be restored. I understand. When we've all been in a place where we've held to hurts, early in our walk particularly, and there's a real strong soulish gratification in unforgiveness. It's a very perverse thing. It's a very perverse thing. But it's something that, of course, again, as we come in to the presence of God and allow the light of His Word to enter into our hearts, we come to the place where we just cannot be in a place of unforgiveness. We realize that. And then, of course, as you do that, then you'll get the revelation of what an abomination it is, because it's a denial of the blood of Jesus. I talked to you the first or second day or third day about that we are going to be a people that gain a continually deeper revelation of the blood of Jesus in this last hour. It's a precious and a holy thing. It's a glorious thing. So glorious that I believe that that's one of the things that will be expanded to us eternally.
Thank you, Father.
So we have to begin to treat it with the honor and reverence and respect that it's due.
Amen. Amen.
So there will be a necessary healing wave come forth to heal all this mess of false prophecy. And whosoever desires to enter into the fullness of kingdom living, God will lead them to the right environment, to the place where they can get the proper teaching and get healed and restored by the power of God, and not take 16 years to do it. I'm talking about entering in and getting on with the plan. You know, I'm not making light of things. I'm telling you that's how powerful the blood is. There will also be a specific outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That means God's going to lead His church and His ministry and whoever upon the shepherds, upon the pastors. Now why is that? Because we all know the structure and the network out there, and there's a strong, strong spirit, subtle or otherwise, of manipulation and control working. And a lot of it's based on good intentions, and people don't realize what they're doing, but the spiritual reality behind it is they've taken over from the Holy Spirit. That's not a good thing. So God is coming, and He's going to pour out in many manifestations of His Spirit through His people And the light and the wisdom is going to come forth to set these people free.
Thank you, Father.
Set these people free. Those people don't belong to them before they belong to God.
Thank you, Father.
In this time, elite kingdom troops are going to be both restored and prepared for battle readiness. That means just to us, it means to accomplish all that God wants to accomplish in the remaining days. An elite force. It means specially trained. It means operating with every possible advantage. There's going to be the advent of a true working fivefold ministry. This is important. Because it's going to set forth a chain reaction that's going to touch every last member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Bringing them, elevating them up to the unity of the faith so that we're all standing on that platform I told you about in the vision. Very important. See, it seems such folly now to look back and see all the travesty that came about because people weren't walking in true spiritual humility. That is total and absolute dependence upon God. That's what humility is. Humility hasn't got anything to do with hypocrisy. Those who are operating under a spirit of hypocrisy are operating in a false humility. There will be a superabundant, these are all manifestations through the glorious church. But now, I'm talking now, it's going to escalate and we're going to see manifestations from all these things. But it's already happening now, and we are a people that will be walking and found walking in it now. There will be a superabundant release of the spirit of wisdom and revelation through that holy, that spotless and unblemished church. That in itself is an endless topic. What it means is the wisdom of God is going to begin to come into every nook and cranny. Any of these divisions or splits or spaces that have been unfilled by the Spirit of God are now going to be filled by the Spirit of God. Because of this release of great power, the release of the Holy Spirit through a glorious church, there is going to be a very powerful and heavy anointing of total and absolute consecration unto God. In other words, the things that we're learning here, coming into that place of proper fellowship with Him, we are going to be used to impart that in whatever way, corporately or individually. We're going to be used to impart that to people, and it's going to produce a very strong and deep consecration, an absolute trust in God. And you see, you can understand why this is not going to take too long to snowball to a very, very great degree. That's all people need to do is get in the presence of God. I've seen people get born again and just a few days later speak in revelation that's just absolutely enlightening to me. I mean, they just got born again and they can understand what's being said. Why? The Holy Spirit. There is going to be the establishment through all these things because now there's finally a people in the earth that have the desire to live with a pinpoint accuracy concerning His purpose. We're going to see the establishment of the Father's perfect order in all things. In all things. One example of that is a true working fivefold ministry. But it's going to be a manifestation that mushrooms and covers everything. And I'm going to talk a bit about families in a second here. Order. Order. The Father's perfect ordering. Again, I talked to you last night about one thing God taught me is that there's always a right place and a right time for everything according to His purpose. We're going to see that big time. And that's going to produce magnificent results. See, I can't expound on these anyways. I can't sit here and tell you how glorious the results of this is going to, what this is going to be. I can just touch on some things. I mentioned last night to you about the hospital emptying in that big city that He opened my eyes to see that. Well, we're going to see manifestations of all these things. Glorious. This is no time. There's absolutely no excuse for any one of us to get caught in any way, shape, or form by a spirit of unbelief in this hour. If we're caught by that, then we're not in the right position with God. So we just need to get into that fellowship. And as Stacy said, that counsel will keep rising up within us to direct us and to guide us. You see, I mean, when I think of the term maximum results, maximum fruit, that thrills my heart. You know, what is your best in this, Father? What is it you want to do? And sometimes, you know, in the past, had to just kind of like step back a bit and wait, but knowing Of course, that faith is being released into a situation. But I'll tell you, as God says, now is the time for every vision and every fulfillment to come to pass. And He gave me a word. And He told me, and He said this, He said, there's coming a point. This was a number of years ago, He gave me this. There's coming a point when my church will begin to walk supernaturally, nonstop.
Amen.
Nonstop. And I have no idea how much time I'll have, but if I do, I may be able to share just a touch. All right. In this day, there will be raised up in the church glorious marriages and glorious families. Now, this is an environment that God desires to create. And of course, the church and the marriages run simultaneously. But they will be, these marriages and these families will be environments. And this goes for the church itself, corporately, the body itself. There will be a place far above the wiles, both the wiles and the destructive attacks of the evil one. They will be a place both ordered and sustained by revelation knowledge. That's the wisdom, parents, dealing with your children and your husband and or wife.
Amen.
A place which shall be found to be impenetrable in any way by any force which has its origin apart from God's Word and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Think on that.
Yes. Yes.
In these days, we're going to see the precious daughters finally come into the fullness of all that God created them to come into. I could stop there and go, well, I've appreciated the daughters over the years. And so we're going to see that. And we're going to see every doctrine and every tradition and every self-exaltive, demonic word that's been put forth to keep them down. We're going to see that consumed.
Hallelujah.
I've seen the heart of the Father on this, and He loves His daughters. And He appreciates their faithfulness, as we all do. In these days, God is going to continue to establish or make glorious or divine connections. This is extremely important. And I'll say this with a holy reverence. There's a lot of things going on now, a networking, so to speak, but its origin is not the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We need to be a people who move only by the Holy Spirit, that allow ourselves to be positioned only by the Holy Spirit. And God will draw these glorious or divine connections. Simply defined, a divine connection is simply one that has been totally and completely orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. The wealth of the wicked will be transferred into the hands of the righteous. Now you study out Isaiah 23. I don't have time to do that now. Isaiah 23, and you'll see it's coming to those who dwell in the presence of the Lord. In these days, we will see the end of all foolish controversies. Now, the reason why that's so close to my heart is because we have one head. And if we're hooked into that head, we'll do well. The days ahead shall bring forth the end of all foolish controversies and the spirits of self-exaltation behind them, in the midst of all those who truly love God. The Father has shown me that He will call to account every idle word spoken in the midst of His people. Every word spoken shall be exposed immediately for what it is, by the Holy Spirit, due to a great release of the revelatory gifts, that's the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits, in the body of Christ in these days. And thus shall the unwholesome word be removed from the midst of God's people. Now, how much time do I have? Just box them. That's fine. Perfect. In the summer of 97, I'd reached a wall, and it seemed to be the end of the road, even though I knew it wasn't. I'd been in the cave for a number of years, many, 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 many years, learning, and of course, as I mentioned the other night, I so appreciate the way God did things. If He had done it any other way, then I wouldn't know what I know now, and I don't want to be in a place where I don't know what I know now. And I hope that made sense to me. But the thing is that I'd been separated from the denominational church for over 12 years at that point, and had been spending time in the learning the things I'm teaching. That simple. And so I wondered what was going to happen next, because I didn't know. I thought, you know, in those days, you thought in terms of the circuit, you know, people getting out there, people knowing and all that, but I knew that wasn't God's will. And I didn't know. I mean, he had stretched the vision that he'd given me. I began to intercede for the glorious church and godly leadership in this last hour in 1983, as I told you before. The vision just kept growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And outward circumstances kept getting further and further and further and further away from it. That's how I learned to walk by faith. That's how I learned to hold fast the vision. You know, and of course, when we're faithful to hold fast the vision, then God can expand the vision. If we let go of it, then it stops right there and fades and disappears, and then we get a counterfeit vision. So, you know, I was crying out to God, and I was content, but I'd really sensed in my spirit that it was time to move on into something. You know, the next step, whatever that was, I didn't know. By that time, I'd learned to walk step by step in faith, you know, the devil trying to stop you on every side. So, of course, I understand what was going on now, but a lot of times, you know, what is going on here, you know? And, but he's faithful. You know, he's faithful. And again, like I said the other day, when the situation ended, or that phase ended, then I was able to understand and see his perfection, you know, and his wisdom, you know. Yeah, we always think we're ready. You know, we always think we're ready at a certain time, especially in the early years, I mean. We are ready now. But we always think we're ready to do a certain thing, and then God will just show us and just kind of keep us away if we're, you know, yielding. Some people just, no, I'm ready, I'm going, because I want that. And that's not the way it is, of course. But now it's a different time. So anyway, I'm walking there, and that's somewhere I'm praying. And the Father spoke very, very clearly to me, and he said, it's time for me to have a direct interview with you. Now, I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant because even though I'd been fellowshipping with him day by day on the terms he'd revealed to me to that point, I knew he had something more for me because where I was walking at that point, I needed it. I needed something. So anyway, I was lying in my room one night and just praying. I had some situations that I was praying about, and they were kind of coming to an end. I really didn't know. Actually, in the natural, there was situations arising that had to actually... a decision had to be made and so on. And so I was just lying there praying, and all of a sudden Jesus was standing in the middle of my room. And in the spirit. And, you know, it's like it was dark. I remember that. All the lights were shut out. But I knew exactly where he was standing. And so the next thing, I was off the bed and just kneeling before him, my face on the floor. And he began to speak to me. I don't have time to go into the fullness of this vision. As a matter of fact, the Father's been very, very slow to allow me to release this vision because he hasn't given me the words. I couldn't release it if I wanted to. But I'll touch on the points he wants me to touch on. And so he was standing there. And, I mean, it was awesome. And so he began to speak to me about some things. He began to speak to me about the crown of unfading glory and how in the last hour that the people of God would be filled with his spirit and would walk in a place of a never-ending filling up of the glory of God. In other words, it doesn't matter how much we're called to put out, we're going to come into that place where the glory of God is continually flowing through us and we're going to be strengthened, giving new meaning to Romans 8:11. The Holy Spirit will quicken your mortal body. And I'll touch on that. So, he spoke some things to me. But the main thing was that I was elevated immediately. And so, after he finished, he left. And the next 7 days were the most remarkable days that I could have ever imagined. Because I don't know what happened. I mean, people say, well, I was caught up with this, heaven, and that. Well, I don't know. Because the point I'm making here is that I was still walking in the practical things of life. I still had things to do. I still had a son to take care of. I still had to... you know, to go over. At that time, I used to walk across town to take my letters or my email to my friend who had the computer with a modem, and he would send them out, and I'd get the ones that came in. I'd walk all the way across town praying, right across the center of town. And so this day then, I mean, I just was energized. And so I came out, and I began my walk, my normal walk, the normal positioning, and it was the most amazing thing, because the best way I can describe it to you, I'm really struggling for words here, the best way I can describe it was that, you know how you often heard this, that we only use 10% of his brain, our brain, some less than that, but 10% of our brain. And so there's a greater perception there to be had, and this is what came upon me. And so as I was walking out, the first thing that happened, a car drove around a corner, and the Holy Spirit rose up and he said, cast out a spirit of murder from that person. And then another person walked over there and said, cast that out. And I walked through town, and it was like cutting a swath perception that I had. It was, I saw things, people, I saw people being led out of alleyways. Just everything was flowing in the Spirit. These were unbelievers. They were just flowing out into my path, and God was giving me the prayers, and I just kept walking through. They never stopped once. I don't know how many things he accomplished in that one trip across town. And this continued on for 7 days. And other things did happen in that time. The other thing that I'll share, and I'll end, is that when this was happening, my physical body was quickened to such a great degree, it was amazing. The Lord had given me a word, and he said, in the last days, he said, your days will be 20 to 22 hours. And I thought, well, there's something to put your faith on. And in this time, what happened was, I was doing certain work, putting some things together. And I would work, and I would just do, I mean, I wasn't even conscious of anything else except the Holy Spirit. And so I was just doing and living and moving and having my being in Christ and doing the work. And it came to 11 o'clock at night, and I wasn't tired at all. Uh-huh. And I said, praise God, the way I feel, I'm just going to keep going, you know. Uh-huh. Holy Spirit says, go to bed. So I went to bed. It was 11 o'clock or something like that. 1 o'clock on the dot, I wake up, the same thing. I didn't want to go to bed because I didn't want to leave the presence of God.
Amen.
Stacy mentioned about the fact that we're coming to a place where we won't sleep. And I understand that now. But the fact was, I was in a place where I didn't want, but the Holy Spirit said, go to bed. I just went to bed. I didn't argue with him. And then I woke up, and I'm telling you, I was just, I was energized. It's like I never left. But I did. And this continued on for 7 days. And in those days, a lot of glorious things happened. A lot of things were spoken to me. And they will be released as they come. They're not coming to my remembrance right now. They will be released in the days ahead. But the fact is, what he did there was give me a glimpse of the practical application of a glorious church walking in the earth. And there's many other facets to this, but it's everything. But I'm telling you, you know, I encourage people, and I have done this the last little while particularly, it is, things are about to change. The things that are or that have been the way they've been are not going to be that way much longer. All these things are available to us. And so consequently, you know, we have to be a people. The reason I shared this is because we want our vision to be clear. We want to be a people who are holding fast to the vision. We don't want to be a people who are saying, yes, that's wonderful, but yeah, that's a ways off. That's a ways off. You see, because that just is fodder for a spirit of unbelief to work. And Satan has his way. And then out of our mouth come words such as that, such as unbelief. And that's what God was upset with, the people of Israel. They'd just given up, basically. And I'll tell you, you know, when you give up and you start to walk away from that, your heart gets hard, you get away from God. Well, we're not those people.
That's right.
And so I just want to end here. I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you all to realize that we have now stepped in to a new realm. That is spiritual reality. Eternity is entering in to this physical realm that we live in. And it's going to be a different ball game. The scripture in Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words this morning, and we just praise you. I'm asking you, Father, to elevate your people, to elevate me, and to bring us this day as we go forth into an amazing place, a direct interview with you, Father, that we might walk in the fullness of your most holy purpose. So we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.